Thank you, Una. This is Late Debate. I'm Brian Dowling. We'd like to hear your views on any of the topics we discuss. You can email us at latedebate@rte.ie. You can text us on 51551, and our Twitter address is at latedebate.rte. Joining me in studio tonight, Dr. Paul Rouse, UCD historian, who has written extensively on the GAA and is also a member of Offaly GAA. Sean Potts of the Gaelic Players Association. Martin Breheny, GAA correspondent with the Irish Independent. Michael O'Keefe, former Dublin footballer and managing director of Pembroke Communications. We'll also be joined on phone by Liam Griffin, the former Wexford hurling manager, and the one and only Micheál Muirchertach. Martin, if I can begin with you first, and perhaps for listeners, can you sketch out the key points in the deal?
Well, let's take it from where we're starting from. For the last 3 years, all of the live coverage has been RTE and TV3 did the live coverage. Now, BBC had some of the live coverage in conjunction with RTE, but it was RTE and TV3 had the exclusive rights, and they showed 40 live games. Now, it's changed. Now, TV3 are out of the picture, and RTE are still there, and Sky Sports comes in. RTE will have 31 live games, including the All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. Sky will have 14 live games exclusive, and they will also have six others, bringing to 20 live games. In other words, six games that will be shown by RTE and Sky.
So the they'll be up to the semi-finals and All-Ireland finals.
The essential difference here is that there will be five games more shown live across both RTE and Sky, but 14 of them will be behind the paywall for Sky,
and that's
the
biggest short.
TV3 gone, Sky in, 14 behind the paywall for the first time, and that's what all the fuss and controversy is about.
In the context of the 14 games that Sky have now secured, is it fair to say that the really big breakthrough here, and perhaps the most contentious point, might be that Sky have got exclusive rights to two of the All-Ireland football quarterfinals? Is that the really big breakthrough?
Well, it is. Obviously, the further you go, and I suppose the bigger the interest in the competition, and the bigger the games are. And yes, they've got two of the All-Ireland football quarterfinals, and they have most of the they'll have Saturday evening games qualifiers, and there will be a lot of big qualifier games as the season goes on. And there's no doubt about that. But certainly, they've got two All-Ireland football quarterfinals. There will be two for the first time since the quarterfinals came in 2001. There will be two of them will be on subscription channel for the first time. Yeah.
Just before we proceed, I should point out that we did ask the GAA to send a representative in to join us this evening, but that was not possible. Micheál Muirchertach, if I might come to you, what do you make of the reaction to the deal generally, and how it has played out over the last number of days, Micheál?
Well, before I answer that briefly, I want to tell you where I am. I'm up in Irvinestown, County Fermanagh, for the opening tonight of an all-weather floodlit 3G pitch that will cater for Gaelic football, rugby, soccer and all types of games. It's a community thing financed by the district council and, of course, grants towards it. And a huge night here tonight. It will be a great facility for all sport here in Fermanagh. But to come back to your reaction, I think you mentioned.
That's right, Micheál.
I think part of the reaction was because it came on people unknown. They weren't expecting anything like that. There hadn't been a huge debate about it. And for a major one, I thought maybe it should have been brought up at Congress and the public should be alerted that a deed was about to be made and it would be, in a way, a little break with tradition. I think that caused a good bit of the reaction. The other thing then is you would have to say that it's a great deal for those living abroad. But I would be worried about those not living abroad who live in Ireland, who will not be in a position maybe to pay for Sky, and who will not see some very, very vital games, as has been pointed out here. So for that reason, you know, I'd be curious, is there a plan to do anything for those people? I know the GAA and the IFA and the inspiration of Mary McAleese when she was President of Ireland taking care of the people in rural areas, the men living alone and all that, and to make some sort of an inclusive program. I hope that now, and there is branches of it all over the country, that will be used to bring those people that will not be able to see the games because they mightn't be able to afford to pay for them, they mightn't like to travel to a pub or something like that, that will bring them together to a centre where they could see these vital games that they are being deprived of. I know it's only a fraction of the people in Ireland that would be watching them, but it is a break. The other thing then, there has been a very special relationship between RTE and the GAA. Since 1926, they have been working side by side. A lot of the time, just one broadcaster, one sports association. I hope that there's no danger that the day will come when RTE will have no games, that Sky will have taken over all. So people want to be careful and look about them. I think the GAA should also announce that after this is a three-year experiment. After that, that there'd be a full appraisal of it, and that the clubs of the country would have a voice in the decision the next time round.
OK. Liam Griffin, can I turn to you? Would you share that analysis by Micheál?
I think that's a good analysis by Micheál, but to be quite honest, I trust the membership of the GAA and its impact it has on the ruling classes within the association over time. And I think this will evolve into something that will be acceptable. I also think that, you know, it's a modern world and technology has moved on, and I think that as part of the technological advances, we're going to see a lot of changes coming up in the next couple of years that maybe even might change this in a matter of a year or two. You're going to have a lot more change in technology and a lot more access to all sorts of stuff that's now being televised. So I think the change is inevitable, and I think that maybe with the clout that Sky has and everything else, they may bring something extra to the party that we don't even think about. And furthermore, I would say when I started out as a child, we used to go to the neighbours' houses to watch. I'm quite satisfied, as I said to an old man in my area the other day, look, you will always be able to watch it because you can watch it in my house, that's for sure. So I think the GAA will rally around its own people where it feels that they might be left out and there won't be inclusiveness. And I think it'll probably work itself out over time, but you'd like to see a fair and a balanced approach to it to be the best it can be for everybody. And I feel confident that will evolve.
Let me bring in some of the panel. Michael O'Keefe, former Dublin footballer. Is that at the core of all of this, really, in terms of some of the reaction, that it's about that sense of, that feeling of inclusiveness, the GAA roots into communities, and that maybe people fear that even a small amount of exclusion might develop into something else?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we're all fully aware that there are economic difficulties out there, and we're all very aware that, you know, some of the arguments have been put forward that there's a certain amount of exclusion in this. On balance, I'm probably in favour of this. I think 14 games is about right. I think it's only for 3 years. I think the little bit of extra revenue that comes in on the back of this can be pumped back into promotion. And I think the overseas reach of the 10 million subscribers in the UK probably outweighs the balance in terms of, you know, is there an element of exclusion? I personally would trust the executive in the GAA and Pádraig Duffy that he knows what he's doing. I think the big issue here was that the GAA was caught in the back foot last Friday. I think they didn't control the message at all. And they've been kind of scrambling since to try and recover from a back foot position. And really, if they had it come out and maybe it planned for this, and I know they were caught because it was leaked rather than it was controlled, but if they had been able to control this, they could have maybe come up with something that maybe would have calmed the fears of people, particularly those kind of questions that have come up around that kind of example that's been put forward of the elderly man in a rural area who won't be able to see the game. And, you know, they could have come up with something as simple as, you know, cut price 50-60% off Sky Sports for all GAA clubs in the country, or something which may have helped.
And Paul Rouse, is it the fact simply that Sky, the GAA, did a deal with Sky for pay-per-view and that people were simply stunned that it actually happened? Is that what was responsible for driving most of the reaction?
I think so. I think if you look at the deal in the round, it's an excellent deal. There are many aspects to it that nobody could have any problems with, and you could only celebrate. Notably, the relationship between RTE Digital and the GAA to stream games
overseas,
which is a brilliant initiative. And ultimately, I would say that might prove to be the most, in the longest term, the most interesting aspect of the deal, because it will show a way forward, not just for what will happen overseas, but also here. Now, the issue, I suppose, is, were people shocked? Is it a communications message? I think nobody believed, or at least a lot of people did not believe, that this would happen, because the GAA, before previous negotiations, has kind of flown a kite to say that this might happen, and used it almost to shake a few more pounds out of the rival bidders. But in all of their statements, the GAA has said that this is something that they wouldn't do. In many of their statements, this is what they've said. And the difficulty is when you've said repeatedly in the past that you're not going to do something and now you do something, it does take people by surprise.
Martin Brettany, just following on from what Paul said there, should people have seen it coming? Should they have seen the straws in the wind for
this?
There
were some straws in the wind. Notably, I think there was an interview with Pádraig Duffy last year where where he said he didn't rule it out. Peter McKenna didn't rule out another interview. And Liam O'Neill, I think, and the All-Stars tour where we were talking to him in Shanghai, he didn't rule it out. I have to say, no, they gave no indication that it was on its way either. But one of the interesting things that I think here is you asked what has driven the whole thing. I have to say, and I mean, without bringing a note of discord in here, I think the absolutely hysterical reaction of this station has really fired it. I mean, it has been non-stop on programmes since this was announced. And there were times I wonder, would the Angels even going to be played or the weather forecast, we'd have another special on it. I mean, I think it's been absolutely hysterical. And it has, let's be fair, a vested interest. I mean, it's very interesting, for instance, that from 08 to 011, there were 50 games shown live. It was cut to 40 in the last deal. This was cut because the GAA felt there were actually too many games and interfering with clubs or whatever. So it was cut by from 50 to 40. I don't recall Liveline, Drive Time, Any Time, Prime Time, any of them dealing with it. And because there was a vested interest here, and RTÉ have driven this relentlessly. And I've got to say, that, in my view, is a factor in this.
Sean Potts, what's your view of the Gaelic Players Association?
Well, we've been on the record the last number of days, Brian, to say that we welcome the deal. I agree that in the round, it's an excellent deal. And in particular, from our perspective, anything that brings more exposure to our games and to our players has to be welcomed. The GPA has been working for a number of years in the States trying to do exactly that. And I think the GAA has been hugely successful over the last 10 to 15 years promoting grassroots activity all over the globe, in particular in Australia and Canada and the United States and in Europe. They mightn't have been so good in promoting the county game. We'd like to see the game. I've mentioned it a few times over the last few days. When we came out of the hurling semi-final last year, people were saying, if only we could bottle this, if only people could see this sport, it rivals anything we watch around the world. But people don't see it. And that's the truth of it, is that the diaspora are connected to this. But there's something else here that we could do. It could be useful for the association in terms of funding. It could be certainly useful in terms of the country to promote these games abroad and maybe to bring some of these games abroad. In particular to the United States. So this deal, I think, is a first significant step in that direction. I think providing access to the games in the United States, it's been a complaint for people there for many, many years that they have to go to clubs early in the morning to watch games, that just isn't feasible in the long term. You're not going to promote the game at any great level if you're looking for the diaspora to sort of gather together. I think we'd welcome the technical improvements that may come on the back of Sky Sports' involvement. I have to agree. I think
for the players, Sean. Well, does this make any change at all?
I think again, if it improves the technical coverage, if you like, of players in the games, and maybe with the power Sky as a major player in world sport can bring to the market, that will improve. I think anything that improves the exposure for what they do is good. Ultimately, in terms of revenue, the GPA is funded, and we have an agreement with Croke Park, which we signed in 2010, which provides funding for a development programme. The development programme provides support services for players off the field of play so they can commit as elite amateur players. It's a safeguard for amateurism. The ethos, the association is enshrined in this arrangement. It allows the players to commit without that extraordinary commitment they make coming at the expense of their personal development, which was occurring and still does occur. And that's so in terms of the organisation being safeguarding its commercial future is very important for the players.
Let me bring back in Micheál. Notwithstanding some of your concerns, do you draw any comfort at all from the fact that perhaps ultimately the membership of the GAA at a future Congress may well be able to have their input into this deal or any future deal?
Well, I could see that coming. Now, I did say at the beginning there are an awful lot of good things for it, especially the game abroad. And what will be the most interesting statistic of all is how many extra viewers will be recruited by Sky with their coverage over the next 3 years. I think that is their aim, and it would be great for the GAA if there was more followers abroad taking an interest in the games. That might help tourism to the country and so on. There'll be a lot of angles that will be watched closely over the next 3 years, and then that will form the opinions of people when it comes to decide in 3 years' time. There are a lot of good things about it. The question is, will something be done to help those that feel deprived of something that they took for granted up to now? That is the major worry of clubs around the country. I've heard it here in Fermanagh, I've heard it out in County Meath, I've heard it in different places. If they could be satisfied, if something was said soon or arrangements being made, Liam Griffin hinted maybe that it might, that thing will be done locally.
Liam, if I can bring Liam in. Liam, do you get any sense at all, even this early since the deal was announced, that there may well be moves from various groups around the country to try to nail down some kind of arrangements where people will not feel excluded?
Well, I think we're a community, and if we're a real community, we'll make sure of that in our own, and we're all members of the organisation. But I know that I think that most of the clubs are not going to see any, especially the older members and people like that, excluded. It could actually bring back a spirit of more community, in fact, in a funny way. I think that the GAA will take care of their own. We always have done, to be honest. But I also think there's marketing opportunities for the game of hurling. I just think that hurling might, you know, we're talking about worrying about Sky and worrying about that. I'm worrying more about hurling, that hurling is still only in a small number of counties within our own country. And I do think that the advent of more technology and more analysis and interesting takes on the game, you know, if a lot of people abroad start to think that hurling is a marvellous game, maybe we could get some more counties in Ireland playing it. So it could be a huge opportunity for the marketing of the game of hurling. We all say how a marvellous game it is, and we know it is a great game without being, you know, over the top of it. But if it is, I think the appreciation that's shown by foreigners actually sells itself better to the people at home than amongst ourselves. So I think there's a huge marketing opportunity there. And I was in Silicon Valley a couple of years ago with the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year programme, and we saw a vision of the future as painted by those people. And if we're not part of the technology development and growth, I think that we as an association would be failing our own association. I think much bigger things have happened within the association, like the opening of Croke Park. I was on the HDC at the opening of Croke Park, and that was a massive one. And the other one that I'm very pleased about is I train kids since for 27 years. And sadly, a lot of the boys I trained are no longer in the parish, never mind, they're not even in the country. And we put a lot of time into those boys. And they're now in the outbacks of Australia and all over the world. We lost 45 players from 2009 to 2012 out of our intermediate teams, which is our best teams. And I'm glad to see that they...
And that would be a common feature, Liam, I think, across many counties.
Maybe it'll bring some of them home again. So that there's so many good things on that side. And I take Michal's points as well. And I think we'll take care of that at home. And our people abroad will be taken care of by the system as well. So
just another point, Liam. To what extent is it a key factor that money from this deal trickles down, right down to local level?
It's absolutely essential. And from our perspective as well, as an association, like... You know, I think that, a lot of people on the outside of our organisation, we knock each other and we proper order, that's the way it should be. We give each other, you know, we correct each other and we keep each other on an even keel. And from that point of view, I just think if it was going to go into executive salaries and it was going to go into all sorts of excesses, I think that would go down very badly. But I think if it comes back into clubs, for example, what's happening in rural Ireland is our club redeveloped itself in recent years. A lot of our older people are moved on, and a lot of our young fellows are left with debt burdens that are not absolutely insurmountable, but you're still selling a lot of tickets of a Sunday night. There's fellows going around the parish. There was people walking into my house last night from our own club with my allocation of county development draw tickets, of which we get half the money. There's a burden there which this would help to alleviate if the money is dispersed through the clubs, as it has been with the rugby. And we didn't go up in a ball of smoke because that was played, and I don't think we will with this either. It will be helpful if it's managed well, but I think that I don't know who there said it a second ago. I think we maybe manage the message. We need to manage the message a little bit better and put a bit more clarity around it from top level, I think.
Let me bring in some of the panel.
With Liam there about somebody mentioned the money trickling down. Now, the money does trickle down, and the GAA always get their accounts audited by professional accountants and so on. They're freely available at Congress and everything like that. Maybe not enough promotion is given to what goes back to counties, and it needn't all be going, we'll say, to developing the pitch locally and all that. It could be covering things like insurance and other things, but the money does trickle down, and I think that should be made out clearly so that everybody knows it. And if extra revenue is gained as a result of all this, I think that portion of that will trickle down as well. I wouldn't be a bit worried about that aspect. But Liam also said the promotion of hurling at home. If they see that it's of world interest, which will take a lot of convincing, you know, that might help it at home. I come from a footballing county, but I've said for a long number of years there's no game in the world that can compare with the game of hurling. It was at its brilliant best in 2013. It's a great marketing time for the game of hurling.
Let me bring in Paul Rouse again. Paul, just when you stand back from this deal, in your view, who are the winners and the losers?
Who are the winners and the losers? That's a very good question, Brian. It's very early after the deal has been announced.
Because there are those concerns about those people who don't have Sky, who can't afford to pay for Sky, or who can't afford the packages that other providers have on the market, which include Sky Sports.
Well, the context of this deal is very simple. You can look at the impact of going to Sky, what the impact of going to Sky has had on other sports. And the repeated impact is that the audience for that sport collapses. It collapses to at least one-fifth of what it previously was. That's simply a fact. More on top of that, people who are poor, from poor areas, socially disadvantaged areas, people who are over 65, people who are under 14, people who live in rural areas, are again disproportionately affected, more than that one-fifth. On top of that, the surveys show that the number of people going to public houses when a game is exclusively on pay TV is increases by at least twofold and sometimes threefold. On top of that, again, the number of children being brought to public houses to watch matches is increased. Now, they're just simple facts rooted in studies and in research. The question, I suppose, is how important are they when you make your decisions? And how do they sit with an organisation which has a suite of policies which are based around the idea of social inclusion? And if your broadcasting policy veers in one direction, while at the same time the rest of your policies head in another, is there a tension or is there not a tension between those two facts?
To what extent, Martin Brehany, is that a live issue for people in the GAA? Tension that Paul speaks of?
Well, I think it's probably a live... I mean, Padraig Duffy and Liam O'Neill would have been driving this, I suppose, they'd be... they would be very conscious of it. I mean, and all involved in the GAA...
Both of them have said that the primary motivation here was the promotion of the game.
Yes, I think so, yeah. But Paul makes a point that obviously there's a drop in numbers of people who will see the game. I suppose this year you could say there's five more games shown, so the figures will probably hold up... they'll probably hold up pretty good. But, yeah, but I also think, say... people go to pubs anyway, and you'll find a lot of on Championship Sundays, and they don't stay at home in the house necessarily to watch it. And I'm not so I'm not sure that it's going to make an awful lot of difference in that regard. I mean, there will be people who don't have Sky, and they will go to the pub to see it. But this vision of kids being dragged in to sit there for the afternoon, and elderly folk down rural lanes crying because they can't see the game, I'm not quite sure. Let's see how it develops. And the other thing will be, in 3 years' time. I mean, this can be killed in 2 years' time if somebody brings a motion to Congress to say, listen, no more dealings like this, that's it, it's gone. So it's not... this idea, for instance, of the thin end of the wedge, I don't take that at all, because I think there will be alert now to it and say, well, what's the situation here? But in 2 years' time, you wonder, will we be even talking about this? Because Liam Griffin mentioned earlier about the technology. Who knows where we'll be in a few years' time with technology in very short space.
Yeah, it's
Sean Potts.
Yeah, I would agree with Martin there. I think... this is a television deal, and I think in some ways, you know, all sports are community based, and I think they take part in the community, people participate within the community. This is about the televising of games. I think there's a commercial reality for the GAA to be a player in this space. I think it's very important in terms of how rugby has developed.
Is there a sense of the GAA looking somewhat enviously at the way the IRFU has managed its
affairs?
This is
a strategic move on their part. I think you're talking about a battle for hearts and minds, about how the game is perceived, how it's covered, what Sky Sports can actually bring to that mix, how it will be, you know, how it will be promoted within those channels. I think that's very important. The Heineken Cup hasn't been available on terrestrial TV since 2006, but rugby has. I know there's been a downside to the professionalisation of rugby, but it has never been more popular. And in terms of television audiences, it has become a phenomenon in modern Irish sport. You see the development of new brands. I think the GAA are acutely aware of that, and I think the way they're doing this, to Martin's point as well, is balanced. I think they're acutely aware of their own membership and ensuring that there's sufficient terrestrial coverage to satisfy their audience. I think there are new games in this. I had it just to finish a point, was down in my own club last night, and somebody was going at me about the Dublin Wexford hurling match being one of the games proposed suppose, for Sky. And I actually, on developing the argument with him, found he hadn't attended the two Dublin-Kilkenny matches last year. So, and neither of those games were shown on television. So I wondered where he was actually going with his argument. But just to prove the sort of practical example of what this actually brings.
Michael O'Keefe, just on one of the points that Sean made there, is there a sense perhaps among the leadership of the GAA that Sky Sports, given its reach, that it offers, if you like, almost a chance to make GAA sexy, if you want to use that word, to give it an appeal way beyond here into Britain? Is that one of the big attractions for them?
I think that's a very fair point. And I think, you know, I think the GAA have been strong this week in saying that this wasn't purely financially driven as a decision. And I think one of the main factors was the promotion and the production values, I think, that Sean touched on as well, that Sky may bring to the table. You know, we only have to look back over the last 20 years ourselves in terms of, you know, people's interest in everything from rugby league 20 years ago to Aussie rules when it was shown on TV to American football when it was shown on TV. And I think one of the selling points for the GAA was, if we can showcase hurling and football to 10 million people in the UK, is that a way to promote our games? It also, from a sponsorship point of view, if you can tell a sponsor that you're going to have a TV audience of 3 million and not maybe 1 million, that also increased the value of the potential sponsorship deal. I wouldn't go so far as Liam Griffin has gone to say that it may expand the reach of hurling within Ireland. I wouldn't go so far as to say it may make people want to come home. But what it will do is, I think it'll definitely give hurling in particular a platform overseas that it hasn't currently got. I think that has to be welcomed as well.
Paul, if you stand back for a moment from this and maybe just say to yourself, and you mentioned that perhaps the side of this deal that perhaps doesn't get as much attention is the whole idea of the digital arrangement.
Yes.
Is that really where the best potential might lie for the GAA in terms of its reach, its overseas reach, and to Irish people abroad?
Well, it's why I would argue that the deal with Sky is unnecessary. The idea that Sky is needed to serve immigrants is, I think it's a red herring. I think this is done absolutely clearly through the deal between RT Digital and the GAA.
So why the deal with Sky, in your view?
Well, I'm not actually sure. I've yet to see a coherent, sustained explanation for it that holds water. I take the points that are made in relation to the spread of hurling and the spread of Gaelic football and the idea of the internationalisation of the games. But I wonder what the aim is here. I wonder, it's all very vague and it's floated in the air that we will have immigrants or that we will have tourists visiting Ireland to see games, and we will somehow inspire people to understand that our games are the best games in the world and that they will flock in their numbers to either found or to join GAA clubs. Like, is that what the ambition is?
Sean Potts, and I want to bring Micheál back in then.
Yeah, I've said a number of times, I think this is commercial. I think the GAA does need to safeguard its commercial future. I think it's one of the difficulties we have about an amateur sport, how we perceive the sport, the language we use around it. We need money to fund our clubs, to fund the county game, to fund the various components we have. We need that, and we need to be commercially viable. Our market is small, we're a small country. This does give us a chance to maybe move beyond the parameters that now exist. I think it's good for the association to do that. I understand that this deal may not be commercially much different than the previous, and I'm at a loss a little bit to understand that. I think I would have liked to have seen it push harder for Sky to come in as a player. But having said that, I think they tread cautiously, and to some of the points to be made here, have a look at it for 3 years and see where we can push on from there. But I think the commercial reality is why Sky are in the mix.
Micheál, if I can bring you back in, just to pick up from where the point Sean was making there, when it all comes down to it, is it really just a matter that you have to face up to the fact that the GAA has to develop a much stronger commercial arm, and it has to look at the way technology is moving and the sheer reach of Sky?
Yes, the commercial arm is very important, and it's great to see how that has developed within Croke Park itself. The use of Croke Park for non-sporting events all through the year, that's increasing all the time. The museum is so busy now, it has to open 7 days a week. Now, one last point that I'll make, and I'll have to leave because there's a celebration about to begin here in Fermanagh, even though they never won even an Ulster title. Celebrating what they have now and, as ever, looking to the future. The point I would like to make, in case anybody thinks that the GAA are at a bad position at the moment, the standing of Gaelic games was never higher than it is at the moment. That was evident right through the championship last year, hurling games, football games. And very often I noticed, instead of talking about the winners outside Croke Park, outside Semple Stadium or any stadium all over the country, people were talking about the match we saw. Two teams all together, the match, Kerry, Dublin, Clare and all the different hurling matches we had. People spoke of the match, young and old and more young people than ever following the GAA. It's in a very strong position, thanks to the promotion it got from the media of different types over the years. Maybe a little bit of extra hype from Sky will raise it further, but what we want is more promotion and development of the games here in Ireland. It's great to have them abroad, great for the Irish there and so on, but looking to the future, more at home than abroad, even though both are important.
Micheál, enjoy the rest of the evening in Fermanagh and thank you for joining
Definitely.
Us. Thank you. Just quickly, perhaps, before just going to the panel, I might just look at a flavour of some of the text and email that we are getting. I see one here. Martin Brenny has hit the nail on the head. It's Sour Grapes by RTE from Tony and Leash. There you go, Martin. The GAA has gone for big money and got Sky on board. You cannot have the GAA without the players, like players in the other codes that have deals with Sky. GAA players would be entitled to payment per game. John in Mayo. Games are not free in RTE. What about the licence fee from Michael? And I think there's another one there. The GAA are taking the Queen's shilling. Paul Rouse, you wanted to come in there a moment ago, I think, from Sean's point.
Well, it's more from, you have used the phrase on several times, Brian, and I think others have used it about the reach of Sky. And, like, you have to ask what the reach of Sky is in Ireland. Are the percentage of Irish households that have access to Sky?
It's 350,000.
Yes, it's actually less than that, of 1.6 million households. So you're talking about in and around 16, 17, 18% of households. Now, they don't release that, but that's broadly speaking what you're talking about. In Britain, you go to Britain, you're looking at about 3.5 million households. So that's the reach we're talking about. Now, is that reach not already covered by existing channels? So the idea of reach, I don't think that holds water either. And it's almost been presented as if this is a relatively unimportant step. As if this is a natural step, as if this is something that has been a debate around this is being provoked only by RTE's hysterical reaction to it, or apparently supposed hysterical reaction to it. I think that does a disservice to the views of people who oppose the deal, because there are plenty of people who oppose the deal. Now, there are very many GAA members who support the deal, who think it's absolutely great, and very many more who probably are relatively agnostic about it. But I think to present it only as a hysterical reaction from RTE is wrong, because you can look at other radio stations and other television stations and how they've covered it, and it has been big news.
Martin, is the real significance in this deal not so much the deal itself, but the fact that Sky have entered the market, and that in 3 years' time people might be looking down the road to the prospect that a bidding war. There may be a real bidding war the next time. And instead of 14 games, that we might be looking at Sky taking a much bigger chunk of the championship programme. Yeah, is that the real issue?
Well, it's the real fear among a lot of people. And I think even in this situation, that some people just don't probably just, you know, they mightn't quite understand that they seem to think that maybe Sky have more than they've got here in this one. But there's no doubt about it. There's a sort of feeling that once they get in, that they're here to stay. But I think that's very controllable. And I doubt very much if the GAA at top level would go for it. But it's very controllable, because the ordinary member can speak at Congress and will speak at Congress. And I have no doubt whatsoever that starting with next Congress, there'll be a proposal that early to see that it's killed off in or an attempt to kill it off in a few years' time. I have no doubt in the world about that.
Would your assessment be that may already be the mood among the GAA?
Well,
at this
stage? Micheál mentioned earlier that if this is brought to the clubs or whatever, we all know what the answer, I think, there would be, a resounding no. Because if there was a proposal tomorrow to increase ticket prices, I think I'm brought to the clubs as well. So there are things that the top echelons of the GAA have to do without reference to the clubs, and there's no escape from that.
Yeah,
Michael O'Keefe.
Yeah, I don't accept the thing that's been bandied around, and it's the most used phrase of the week, is the thin end of the wedge. And I don't accept that this is the first step in the process. I think the GAA will probably test this out for 3 years, and I don't think it's going to be 14 will become 30, which will become everything. I could be proven wrong with that, but I can't see it going that way. I think the GAA has always, particularly in the last 30 years, has tread this very fine tightrope between an amateur organisation run with the hard work of volunteers like us all here who are involved in GAA, with a very now commercialised entity and organisation. And it's this kind of, this is another step in that, when, you know, I think Martin touched on it the other day in his column, you know, in 1991 you had sponsorship on the jerseys and people thought that was going to lead to pay for play or going to change the face of the GAA. It didn't. You had Guinness and Bank of Ireland in the 90s pumping money and promotion into the GAA and people thought the GAA's changed forever, and it wasn't. You had the multi-sponsor model come along 5 or 6 years ago, we'd put more extra revenue into the GAA than this particular deal has, and that hasn't changed.
Open Crow Park.
And then we opened Crow Park, obviously, as well, and as somebody said the other day, Garth Brooks is going to lend Dublin to Crow Park for the summer.
That's it. Garth Brooks actually gets on stage at this stage. Paul, just to let you back in, I know you're under time pressure.
I agree with Mikko, this isn't the thin end of the wedge. The thin end of the wedge was 2008 when games were given to Setanta Sports and put behind a paywall. Then this is the wedge. You know, we're already well past this. That doesn't mean that the wedge has stayed, but the wedge, you know, we're well past a point of this isn't just a mere initiation process. This is it.
Liam Griffin, I might just bring Liam Griffin back in. Is that the bottom line, Liam, that we've now reached the point of no return in terms of the deal now with Sky Sports?
No, I don't think so. I think I'd have utmost faith in our organisation that it'll be handled, and I think if there's enough grassroots people don't want certain things, it won't happen. The GAA is, you must remember that we're in competition with a lot of sports. I saw a time when people said we'd be wiped out by other sports. I saw the time when the Premiership was going to wipe us out, and that hasn't happened. Rugby has never been more vibrant in this country, and we're still there. But you must remember, and like we're in, whether we like it or not, and whether people want to see it like this or not, we're in the business. This is a business now, the GAA itself. I don't mean a business in the strict commercial sense. We're in the business of keeping the players. We're in the business of growing our clubs. We're in the business of holding and retaining our members. And we're in the business of making sure that our sport stays up there and stays with the best of them. And we've got a lot of advantages in the way we set ourselves up. But when you're in the ascendancy, and we are in the ascendancy at the moment, and if you remember back to the time, and all of you remember this, look what the Dubs did and Kerry did for the GAA. Don't tell me the GAA was going through good times in all those times. They seized the moment at that stage, and it brought the GAA into another area. Look at the next move then when Crow Park was open. That brought us on to another area and brought us a lot of PR, which is to our advantage. I don't think the devil is in Sky Sport. I actually share the views and the worries and concerns that we don't get it right, but I still have the faith that we will. But if we don't take our advantages in our ascendancy, well, then we could miss the boat for our sport. And I think our association has proved itself to be very, very, very exceptionally good at taking advantage of the situation. So I would trust what we have done. I don't like some parts of it, but I think at the end of the day, it will work out fine. And I think we've got all of the sticks and all of the measures to keep it in control.
Sean Potts.
Well, I think we discussed the reaction earlier on to the New Deal and about the various milestones with regards to the commercialisation of the games. I think a good example is the reaction to when government funding was brought in for players. That campaign was running from 2004, 2005 onwards. When the agreement was finally reached between the government, the GAA and the Gaelic Players Association to introduce government funding for players, people claimed the sky was falling down, would never be the same again, that Rubicon had been crossed, which is another thin end of the wedge type cliche that tends to come into these arguments. We crossed the Rubicon, the thin end of the wedge was breached, and the sky didn't fall down. The games have improved. What's central to all this, and obviously I'm speaking from our own position here, the players, and in particular the county players. The county players are
only
harnessed.
Only the county players.
Well, only the county players are harnessed commercially for the benefit of the association. Up to 80% of the GAA's revenue is generated by the county game. Quite a similar figure, according to the accounts, is distributed throughout the association on the back of that. They are so integral to the whole functioning of the organisation. These deals are related to that component. The players are central to that. It's vital that if the players continue to commit the way they are, that they're supported with their off-field lives in a way that it maintains the amateur ethos of the association. It's done through the development programme, which is funded through the commercial viability of the Gaelic Athletic Association. So it's vital that they continue to strive for the future. They're aware of that. I think it's a bold move on their part, and I think it's a sensible move on their part. And it will...
Martin made a point earlier on that if the membership were asked first, if it was put to them first, the answer would be a resounding no. But if this deal works both for the GAA and for the membership, Isn't the reality then that Sky, properly so perhaps, will have well embedded themselves into the whole broadcasting of the Championship, and that really at that point they will become one of the major players?
Well, I think despite the fact that the GAA hierarchy make decisions that aren't universally popular within their own membership, Martin and everybody here are well aware about the power of Congress and the power of the GAA to overturn decisions. They've made bold moves in the past, the opening of Croke Park being a perfect example of it. And I think that the eyes are always on the prize within the GAA. And if the GAA does overstep its mark, it is always pulled back. But the reality of it is, it has to stake a claim in its own future. And you're never more vulnerable than when things are going well. And I think that what they're doing now is and to the point, we don't know where technology is going and what platforms people will be viewing games on in 10 years' time. We know the changes that are occurring with our younger audience. And I think they're moving into that area. I think they've been well advised. And I think it's a positive move for the association.
Martin Brennan.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Paul mentioned earlier on about that the when Setanta came aboard, that was a sort of a break. And if we hear at this time of the year players and managers saying this is the league and the Championship is different, you know, league football and Championship football or hurling or whatever, well, this is different as well, because when the league was shown behind a paywall, i.e. Setanta, it passed largely unnoticed. And Congress, well, a few people raised it once or twice in Congress, but the Championship, my God, that's different. But if you look back...
Is there not a prospect, though, that people might become accustomed to it? People will eventually learn to live with the idea that a number of games are behind a paywall and people will get used to
very
that
likely,
idea.
Very
and
likely.
And then once you move on, then, if you have more games, well, that's...
Well, I don't think the GAA will do that, but it is very likely. There's no doubt about that. But just to make one point, it's only about 30 years ago, and I remember that there was a proposal not to show any, to stop showing the All-Ireland semi-finals on television because the attendances were so low. In 1982, I think it was a combined attendance of 42,000. Galway and Kerry and Galway and Offaly and Kerry and Armagh. And there was a proposal at that stage not to show any games on television. So it shows you how things have changed. I know it's 30 years, but people would never have thought that down the road, 30 years on, we'd be having this sort of debate. And also one other point is, and I think Sky might be surprised at this, that they will actually have games, I suppose it'll be 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock as usual on Sundays or whatever. We saw 2 games live on Sunday afternoons. To this day, the games are not shown live on Saturday afternoons in England on the terrestrial channels or indeed on Sky. They have to go earlier or later. And I say Sky would be surprised at that all of these games have been shown and in competition with other games are trying to draw people to the gates.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, Brian, the way we talk about Sky like it's some kind of creeping cancer that's going to come in and take over the association and kill us forever. Like, you know, there was this, and this is the irony of something, that we had this, as GA people, this almost chip and fear of the power of Sky and the soccer being pumped into our houses and pumped into pubs, and now it's come and it's taking a chunk of GAA, and now people are afraid. Some people are afraid of what impact that's going to have. I think Sean, there's one interesting point Sean made, and I think this point has been bandied around all week, and I think there's a lot of misinformation about this point. I think players will benefit from Sky coming in. I think Sky will pump a lot of money into promotion and they will use the players as ambassadors. I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't think it can ever lead to pay for play for players in any way, shape or form, because it leads to a situation where players become workers and they have to transfer across counties. And
In the last few days, Donald O'Neill, founder of the GPA, has been out, and he has essentially said that this is really a Trojan horse, that inevitably this will lead to more professionalism within the GAA. It might take a small number of years or a long number of years, but that's the path we're leading to. Paul Rouse.
Well, the story of Sky when it goes into a sport is that it essentially spreads and spreads and spreads. I don't call it a cancer, but it absorbs the sport. It did it with rugby league. It's done it with cricket in England. That's how it operates. It craves exclusivity, because exclusivity gives it the right to charge subscription fees, and if people want to see or support their team, they need to buy it if they want to see those games.
But it improved the coverage of it. I mean,
Sean, is there a danger?
No, we're talking. That's a different issue. But you have to ask the question: what's in this for Sky? Like, how will Sky measure this in 3 years? Is it to be a growth in subscriptions? It's very interesting. It appears that these games are to be shown on Sky Sports 3. Well, on the 30th of January this year, Sky Sports 3 and Sky Sports 4 were launched as stations which could take Irish ads for the first time. Sky Sports 1 and 2, you could do this from 2003, but now there's a clean feed coming in. You can do this here from January the 30th this year.
Sean Potts, is there a danger perhaps that Sky is so big that essentially it might be bigger than the GAA, and in terms of Sky's capacity to really, really push hard deals, as we've seen in rugby, as we've seen in soccer, right across the sport.
I think it's revolutionised those games in many ways. It's certainly revolutionised the coverage of it and how people react to it and their knowledge of it and how it's beamed into our homes. Martin has often written about the GAA's need to compete at certain times of year when there's a drop in central to all that, of course, again, is the county game needs to be your shop window is essential for the whole sort of function. There's a symbiotic relationship between the top tier, the elite tier, and the grassroots and the GAA, as there is in all sports. I think to your point earlier on, and I refute what Donal O'Neill said, I think he's been out of the game for a long time, and what's happened in the meantime is that there's been a crystallisation of what the Players Association does for its players. I think that the development programme is only in its infancy. I think the commercial strength of the GAA will help, that development programme will help support the players who are integral to this. As to Mick's point, I think there will be commercial opportunities will accrue from the Sky deal, certainly on a promotional basis. I was on the record this week talking about that our players are amateur players. They're not contracted in any way to any of the broadcast rights holders. So I think there's still scope for huge promotional opportunities for them.
I just want to come back to Paul for a second. If you look at the way, for instance, Sky, in terms of the Sky coverage of rugby, how has it revolutionised rugby? What has it done to change rugby coverage?
Well, I don't see what it has done to revolutionise rugby in this country.
I'll tell you what it's done. Sean, as a manager of a Gaelic football team, I'm told that 6 or 7 of our players are not available to play over a 6-week period because
in terms of the international players,
in terms of rugby, because I know it's popularised. It's certainly not in our club, it wouldn't have been an issue 10 years ago. I see huge popularisation with rugby in terms both of in terms of actually participation levels and community interest, but also in terms of television audiences and the hype and interest and excitement that's created around the brand.
Let me bring Paul in on that point.
I mean, that's a conflation of two different things. The expansion of rugby isn't due to Sky. Rugby has been expanding here since the late 1990s. It's due to a whole load of different factors, and to ascribe it to Sky. Sky has much fewer viewers for rugby than RTE does. It's right at the margins of the spread of rugby. There are a whole load of reasons. IRFU has been brilliant at getting coaches into schools, spreading the game in places where it's never been.
Yeah, but it's still. But Paul, last Saturday night you got 22,000 Dublin and Mayo, a rerun of the All Ireland final, and the Lansdowne Road, as they still call it, the Viva, whatever. It was sold out. Now that's down to what Sean is saying, that the
population
of the Sky coverage of the Heineken Cup, an awful lot of people have it and watch all that, watch the Heineken Cup, for instance. A lot of that
actually
has been popularized by
the Heineken Cup. I think it was the other one.
But Sky showed the Heineken Cup.
17%. 17%.
Well,
that's their reach.
It's more than coaches going to schools, I think, Paul, that has popularized rugby.
I just want to bring sure. Michael in there. Just looking in terms of if you look at, Paul raised the question, what's in this for Sky? What do you think?
No, it's a good question, and you know, I've spoken to people in the industry this week about this, and it's not, as some people might say, you know, some broadcast deals are done because the ad revenue you can generate around the package. That's not the reason, I believe, why Sky have gone into this.
Well, I think the GAA have said like that the financial difference is marginal.
Yeah, and financially what Sky have paid of what TV3 has paid, I think it's a difference between 30 million over 3 years with all the deals put together and 32 million over 3 years. So it's not a massive... It's only €2 million, the difference between all the packages put together this time and all the packages put together a few years ago. I understand what Sky's rationale is. Obviously, they're under a lot of pressure from Setanta and BT because things like rugby rights and things like soccer and so forth has been split, so they don't have the dominance that they used to have. When it comes to Ireland, their subscriber base is relatively small in the wider scheme of things, and there has been a trend that when the soccer season ends, and soccer is still by far and away the driver of subs in Ireland when it comes to TV, that season ends in May and begins in August, September, and this is something that fills a void when they don't have things like World Cup and soccer this summer. So it is a subscription retention play rather than a massive subscription acquisition or an ad play is my understanding.
Let me bring back in Liam Griffin, the former Wexford hurling manager. Liam, this deal is for 3 years, but do you see perhaps Sky as being a long-term partner now with the GAA?
Well, things have changed so much. If you look at Mark Zuckerberg, if you look at Facebook, and you look at it, he's buying WhatsApp and various things like that. the world of technology is changing so fast. We just don't really know what's coming around the corner, and I just don't think it's. I think we can just wait and see, but I think we can control it. But what I would say is that this is a completely different animal for everybody than what's going on in we'll say in soccer. For example, the big driver in soccer is that there's a lot of commercial activity and massive amount of money going into the clubs and back into players. That's not going to happen in our case. The controlling interest of our association is a completely different set of values than what's happening there. And certainly there's commercial value, but there's also the value of the pure value that we put on our own games. And also, the players themselves are not being paid. But in relation to our players, we have a lot of our players that are emigrating and going abroad. And I know myself what it takes to be involved in an inter-county team now. You're putting so much work in. There will be work opportunities for people in our games that won't affect their amateur status. And they'll be able to take advantage of that in journalism, in terms of commentary, in terms of giving them opportunities. And if we get inter-county players who get opportunities to get something out of this, what's wrong with that? That's good for us. So therefore, it gives us a route to work for some of our people and still retain their amateur status and still retain their high profile as individuals for all that they've achieved. And therefore, it makes it much more desirable. And young people today who we want to be senior inter-county, they will then see an opportunity that they may be able to get some life opportunities out of it as well. So what's not to like about that? It offsets some of the concerns from other people, so long as we can manage that on the far side. And I think that we're looking at a completely different animal, and I'm still convinced that we can control it, and we will control it. And I think we haven't been spooked in the past, and whatever they say about the GAA, we've been good at holding it together, and this will be the same again when this comes.
Let me follow that point on with Martin Breheny. Martin, that sense that the GAA can manage this, can control this as it evolves in time, do you feel that that is what's going to happen, that they can do it, or is there a sense that the deal with Sky, as it moves on in time, might fundamentally change the nature of the GAA?
I don't think so. Absolutely more chance. And I'll tell you why.
For every person in every town and village, for every member, every supporter.
No, and I think if some of the Sky executives come along to Congress next year, they'll learn exactly who's in charge and who's not in charge. And I can tell you, they'll find out very quickly. They mightn't be dealing with it in rugby league or in cricket, but let them try that one and they'll soon find out if they try to take over anything. I mean, I don't think there's a remote chance of that whatsoever happening, because the GAA have been known to, they take control very quickly if they proceed as a threat. But you know, an interesting thing, all of this debate and all that's been going on all week, it must be fantastic for Sky. It really must be, because they would never have thought that this would have generated so much debate and probably sell more packages for them. Do you know that? Because there's so much talk about it. Everything, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Everybody must have known there'd be a massive debate about this. Remember what happened when the FAI sold the rights to international games in 2002? It ended up
Which prompted legislation to protect very crucial games, prestige games.
And remember what happened when Eamon Ryan tried to kind of expand that legislation in 2010. There was an extraordinary outcry around that against his proposal to do it.
Is that not indicative, perhaps, of that sense in towns and villages and community that for those big Irish events, those big Irish games, that they want them free to air, that they want to be able to access them?
I absolutely agree, and this is a seminal point. There's a very simple thing here. Dublin are most likely, much as it pains me to say it as an awfully man, but Dublin are most likely going to win the Leinster Football Championship in the coming year. It is entirely conceivable that Cork would beat Kerry in the Munster final, right? Which means Kerry go into the qualifiers, Kerry win their qualifier and get drawn to play Dublin in an All-Ireland quarter-final. How about this? Dublin v Kerry, All-Ireland quarter-final on Sky Sports 3 on the 4th of August.
On pay-per-view,
right? Okay, and we laugh and about this now. We laugh about this now, and let's see what happens.
Well, Brian, people forget that. There are 90 games of the Championship, hurling and football. Half of those will not be shown anywhere. And I mean, Sean's point is very interesting about, and I've got it as well, about the number of people who say, oh, it's terrible. Were we at the games last year? No, we weren't. And that is the reality of it. I see the Derry County Board come out against this, for instance. There were 2,000 people at Derry at Kildare last Sunday. So where were all these people that are absolutely scandalised by this?
Michael O'Keefe, the appalling vista, yes, as Paul has outlined it there. Would that change things? Would that lead to the
Kilkenny Tigers versus the Dublin Metros playing darts down in the O2 to music in about 5 years' time?
Sounds great.
I think when you look, there's two reasons. One is it's 14 matches exclusive out of 100 throughout the year, right? So it's a small percentage, and I think it has to stay at that number. I think if it gets any bigger, I think we'd all, as amateur people involved in the association, I think it would become a big issue. The second thing is that broadcast revenue in the GA is about 10 million out of 55 million. It's not like Premier League in England where it's 350 or 650 million out of a smaller pot. And it's not there. And the lads were talking about rugby earlier on. What Sky has done for rugby is given it more money. It hasn't given it a wider audience. And there's a whole lot of other factors where rugby has grown. But Sky's done, it's given rugby money to pay its players and also to promote its game. It hasn't. I don't think Sky is going to come in and take over the GA, put simply.
Sean Potts, very quickly.
Very quickly, this is a positive step for the association. I think it's great. I think what's unique about the GA is that we don't pay our players. They're amateurs, and that's the unique component. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great move for the association, a bold one. I think it'll pay dividends in the future.
Very, very quickly, I'll just read one more text from Conor McKeown. I've just heard Liam Griffin reference Mark Zuckerberg and at Sean Potts Tree agree repeatedly with Marhan Brehany on the late debate. The world is coming to an end. And I think if there's time, Liam Griffin, I think I just might bring you back in there. Is it that bad? Are we looking at the end of the world as we know it for the GAA?
No, we're not. But Sky have negotiated with many people. It won't be Sky have to look out. The Sky will have to look out rather than the GAA have to look out. When they're dealing with an entirely different group with a different set of motivations. And it'll be an interesting time for Sky more so than the GAA, maybe, in many respects.
OK, Martin Brehany?
Yeah, I agree totally. As I said, the Congress will probably be Éagan O'Farrell coming in next year, probably up in Cavan, a weekend in Cavan and at Congress, and they'll know what GAA is all about.
But by that stage, the Sky executives might well be sitting happily back in their offices and feeling that they have clinched the deal that they wanted, that they've got their foot in the door.
And they'll have their foot in the door, but once they're inside the door, they'll find that they won't control what goes on inside.
Sean Potts?
As I said, I think one of the things we're very excited about to see the technical improvements that'll occur in the coverage of the games.
OK, and Michael O'Keefe, do you want to have a last word there? We're just about there.
Yeah, well, look, I think I said, you know, this week's all been about Rubicons, tin ends of wedges and all that
and
kind
the
of stuff.
And the world coming to an end.
And the world has come to an end, yes. So it's been a quiet week. God bless Angela Kearns.
OK. That's our lot for this evening. I'd like to thank all the guests who have joined us both here and Liam Griffin and Micheál Ó Murtagh on phone. Thank you for listening in, and we'll be with you again next week. Good evening.
Cheers.